What do CEOs need to know about sales these days? A lot. Outdated sales strategies and tactics plague most companies today. Listen to what innovative CEOs and experts have to say about how to change all that with Sales Talk for CEOs. Well, you are in for a treat today because we are going to hear from a CEO who not only founded one company, but then built another startup inside of that company and spun it off. So this is really exciting. Veronica Bouchon started as a co-founder of Tango Code, which is a services company. And we'll tell you some more about that in a minute. But not long after she and her partner realized that they could make life simpler for some of their clients, they developed an amazing tool called Chassis. So welcome, Veronica. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Great to be here. And thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
So that accent, where are you from?
I'm from Uruguay. So I came here a long time ago. My parents are from Ecuador, actually. So we kind of, we tease that we have every generation in a different country.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And where are you? Where do you live now?
Chicago.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that. Before the show, when we were chatting, I lived in Chicago for a while.
Oh, really?
I love Chicago. It's just such a great city.
I love it, too. Except, maybe this time of the year, maybe it's not exciting, but I love it. It's a great city. People are like awesome. And, there's lots of things to do. The food is amazing. So
the food is amazing. The music is amazing. Those are two of my favorite things about Chicago. And when the weather's good, just, places to walk outside.
Summer is like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, great. Well, thanks for being here today. And it's a sunny day in Reno, so I'm happy because we've had lots of snow. It's been on the national news, so I'm sure everybody has heard, but it's been crazy. Lots and lots of snow. Well, I'm excited to talk to you about just what you and your co-founder, Dane, have done because it's remarkable. And why don't we just start by telling us a little bit about Tango Code? Just how old you are and what you've been providing, and then when you got the idea for Chassis a little bit, and what Chassis does. So let's start there.
Sure. Hopefully, I don't have to tell you how old I am, but no, I will tell you. I'm just kidding. but let's start with Tango Code. So Tango Code actually is second company. With Dane, we even had another company before that. So
Okay. We
founded Tango Code in 2015. Okay. So 2015. And it was basically our second company where we really had before also a services company, but we were working in a more like a different way, more of like what we call a factory mode. And we really wanted to build with Tango Code a company where we can actually pour in the company all what we have learned so far about software development and what's the best way of providing solutions for our clients that actually work and that they were successful. One of the things that we wanted to fix per se was, success rate of, software development where companies, spend money and then, the products go nowhere. So we built, processes and collaborations and different techniques to be sure that what we like to say is redefine custom development.
So Tango Code does custom development for companies. So you would develop an app, for example, for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So as we built Tango Code, we realized that although we started Tango Code based on values of, how we really wanted to work and how and the value we wanted to bring to our clients, we realized that it was really best to take that and specialize in, certain industry. So we were in a custom development project and we had the opportunity to work with Google. So we had to do a presentation about what we have done for our client. In that case, it was a digital marketing agency actually in Chicago. It was small, much bigger now. And they wanted to become a Google Premier partner. And for that, they needed to prove that they could scale. And they run, you know, at that point, they were a small company. They run a lot of their processes, you know, in spreadsheets, and their people going into Google Ads. And we built a system for them that automates their entire process. And at that point, I had no idea about digital marketing, you know, so that's one of the great things, right? When you have a good process, it could be applied to any industry. So we built this solution for them. And then we were doing a presentation to Google because they were becoming a Google Premier partner. They were able with what we built for them to prove that they could scale. So we were in that presentation. And then, you know, the guy from Google then turns in that moment and they said, like, what? So you guys, all the way from the order you automate, all the way to the ad and the bring the performance, and all with, you know, as simple as you're showing me. And then it's like, and who did this? And we were like, we did. It's like, and who are you? I was like,
yeah. Never heard of you, but you did.
Yeah. That? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, we're TechCode. And then he goes like, do you know that there's not that many companies that specialize in digital marketing for custom development? And we're like, okay, that sounds like an opportunity. So we started to dedicate and learn more about digital marketing. And one of the things that part of our values and one of the things that we do is always ensure that what we build for our customers support their differentiation. So really soon we realized that there were many pieces of what we have to build that they really were not about supporting their differentiation, but it really was about simplifying how they work with Google or Facebook. So we're like, okay, we can build building blocks. So then every time we build a new project, we already have this building block. So our clients don't have to pay us to build that because that's reusable, that's generic. So we started there, starting with the idea of building building blocks. And then we worked with Google. They basically, we started to see that there were, you know, many opportunities, different segments that we can help companies, and even go to a point where, you know, we wanted to turn this into a product. And even, you know, Google were like, you know, we can help you some. So they even give us a little bit of marketing funds there, and we got super excited. And we basically took that vision of simplification and support scale and make it very simple, but at the same time, extensible. Because one of the things that also we saw is like, great, you have all these products so that already solve, let's say they generate, you know, ads in Google or in Facebook. But how do I, as a company, can use those and still support my differentiation, still make it be like the type of solution that I need? So we took the simplification, the scale, and the extensibility, and we built chassis so companies could build, at the end of the day, their own products on top of chassis if they needed.
This is remarkable, really. And I always love it when we stumble upon things, right? So here you are doing developing, you know, for companies. Great. You've got great coders and people who know how to put things together, and you're building all different kinds of things for these companies, right? And then you stumble upon this company that needs, you know, to do this specific thing. You get an opportunity to get in front of Google, right? And then they give you all this feedback that this is phenomenal, right? So you're thinking, yeah, wow, maybe we should pursue this. And you do, and Google even helps you, and then Chassis is born.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. It's just amazing.
So okay. Simple. There's a lot of work behind it.
But... A lot of work, right? It took 10 years to become an overnight success, right? I understand. Well, good. All right. Well, let's go back to the beginning of when you and Dane were co-founding Tango Code. You said you actually had another company before that. But so tell us what you were doing right before you formed Tango Code, and why you decided to do that and turn from what you were currently doing.
I basically was an engineer for another company, and they had a product, And I basically developed with the product, and I really liked it. I like to show people, you know, how to make good use of it because I knew the capabilities. So then they were like, oh, you know, should help in the demos. So I was helping in the demos. And, but I was a developer, but in reality, I realized pretty soon that I was really a sales engineer.
Right. Although, exactly. And we need sales engineers, and, you know, engineering and selling are so similar. I mean, I've heard this a lot of times from founders who were technical people. They're like, oh gosh, it's the same thing. I'm still solving a problem. I'm just doing it in a different way. All right. So that's what you were doing. And so how did the idea for Tango Code come about? You and Dane were sitting around talking about this, or like, how did you just decide to start Tango Code?
So the idea of Tango Code came for what we were doing before, right? So we were Genexus USA. That was the company that we founded. That was our first company with Dane. So we around this product that I was telling you, right? So all the way when I was living in Uruguay, which is, sounds like a long time ago, I worked for the manufacturer of this product as a developer. And then I became a sales engineer, which it brought me to the US. I basically was helping them or helping the resellers sell this product. And then basically, as I was working with that, I wanted to do a little bit more than just help the resellers, you know, sell the product. I actually wanted to also, once they have made a sale, I wanted to help them, help the clients that bought the product ensure that they actually got results from it.
Yes.
So that was the inspiration to build consulting services company around this product. Uh-huh. So that was our first company. We did a consulting services because I wanted to ensure that when somebody spent money with this product, they actually got the value that they were looking for.
Let's pause there. That is so important. And I cannot tell you how many times that is overlooked. I think today we're better at it, but a lot of startups come up with something that they want to sell to people, but then there's no real thought in how they're going to make sure their customer is successful, right? And that's the key, because we want to retain customers year after year after year and grow them, right? And get referrals from them. We absolutely have to make sure they're successful. So I think that's so important that you realize that very early on.
Yes. And actually, that had been also some of the learnings from a sales perspective, because we created this company with Dane, and I had a technical background and he had a, you know, sales background. And then we started and it was like, okay, great. You sell, you know, I do the consulting project. And we kind of divided and it was pretty much you do that, I do this. And I thought that was it, right? Yeah. But then we started to realize that those two worlds go together, as you said, right? Selling is just the beginning of the journey with the customer, you know? And then that beginning of the journey continues. It's a continuous sell, per se. You know, you never had guaranteed that relationship. And it's, you have to continuously be sure that you're providing the value, but also the customer is realizing that you're providing that value and that you learn what are new opportunities that they have, right? So it's like that continuous process that I didn't, at the beginning, I completely, as a technical person, I was like, okay, right. You sell, I do my thing. And, you know, that was it. And I was wrong, right? And
I always say, Veronica, that the customer journey is from hello to I'm your loyal customer. That's a long way. It doesn't stop when they buy the product, right? It's a journey that continues on and on. I mean, some people like to think of it more as a cycle, you know, because of that. And it is interesting though, because we have no way of realizing that at first sometimes. And especially when you're looking at the engineering side of things, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. And so when the idea of Tango Code, basically it was a shift, right? We wanted to always focusing from a value perspective. And because we were selling this product, we were within the constraints of the product. when we were realizing that maybe our customers needed more. So when we started Tango Code, it was the idea of like, let's remove any constraints. So we wanted to ensure that we can really provide what our customers needed or wanted, or what we thought it was, you know, a great thing for them. And so that's really was the Tango Code from a consulting services, this idea of saying, you know, we are building visions together and we're doing it in a collaborative way and we're going to do it. And it was very much what I like actually at Tango Code. It was literally, we had this company, we have this other company, and we wanted to change a lot of things, including the technologies we were using.
Yeah.
And we literally changed the entire thing. We started with new technologies, different customers were selling different segments. We pretty much started from scratch, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about the revenues. So that's interesting because you had a company that was going and making money, right? Now you start from scratch. You've got to start all over, like you said, with new customers. So who was doing the selling in the beginning? I know you were thinking of yourself more as an engineer and Dane was sort of the sales guy. How did you guys get your first customers for Tango Code?
So we actually initially, right, because we were doing such a big change. So initially we went, Dane specifically went to his network, you know. So he really, you know, kind of like specialized in growing a network. So he went into his network and start, you know, selling. And at the end of the day, what you need is, when you start, you need somebody to trust you, right? You need that first trusting customer, and you need to ensure that when you get that first trusting customer, they are like, you know, they are your North Star. They are like, you are going to have to make them look like phenomenal because they chose you, right? And having success with that customer, for example, the success that we had with that agency in digital marketing opened this whole world of possibilities for us. We were starting from scratch. We were building all these customers from scratch, right? But the idea of being sure that we were aligned with their success, for us, it was like, we need to make them successful. They want to become a world premier partner. That's our shared success, right? That's our shared objective. And so starting with the network, ensuring that, you know, every opportunity is like a golden opportunity, you know, I wanted to be sure that, you know, we made our customers successful.
Absolutely. So in the beginning, he used his network, which is awesome, right? Because it's really hard to cold call. It was back then, but it's even harder now, right? So he used his network, called on people, got them to trust him, and then made them look like champions. What a way to start, right? And so when did you really start to get involved in the selling yourself?
As we were selling custom development services, you know, I used to kind of come at some point when it was like about envisioning, you know, the product. So one of the things that we wanted to solve, okay, remember I was telling you about wanting to solve how software development happened.
Yeah.
So I developed initially a product, but it was a services product. Like we call it Inception. It's a workshop. Okay. So I developed this product Inception, which was like at the beginning. So if you want to do a project with Tango Code, we're going to do an Inception first, and it's a standalone service. So it's not that you need to, you know, hire, you know, for this big project. It's like a standalone service, is, you know, a small fee, and we go over a workshop. And in that workshop, we're going to understand each other and understand what is you really as a client, what you're trying to solve. And we're going to build a plan, and we're going to ensure that all the risks are there. So because as we did that as a way of developing this project, then I was involved in selling my product, per se. But for me, I was like really explaining, right, what, you know, what, why, and why it was important for, you know, for them. It took me some time to understand that I really was part of the sales process, you know. I was always about like, okay, they have questions, I can answer, you know, the questions. And I started to understand and realize that really, as you said, you know, sales, it's a process and it's about solving problems.
Yeah.
And I could approach it like very similar to, you know, solving a development problem. So once we started doing that, everything kind of like started to click, and I understand. And now I'm, you know, back to my beginning of being a sales engineer, now with Chassis, but I'm like, you know, apart from the product, be the product manager of Chassis, I am also a sales engineer.
Yeah. Well, there's always a lot to do when you launch a company, and as CEO, you wear many hats, right? And you're always selling as CEO. I mean, every CEO has a role in sales. That role does change as the company matures, but absolutely that role remains. So, all right. So Tangle Code is what, maybe 6-7 years old now. Mm-hmm. And who's doing the selling now for Tangle Code? Did you and Dane decide to grow a sales team, or do you sell through the channel? Who's doing the selling now?
So we do have a sales team. And we basically have a sales team, and we have the, you know, the custom side, and then the, you know, Chassis product side. And things have become a lot more professional, I will say, right? We have a whole sales team. We have a go-to-market strategist that help us in the, you know, segments definition, the, you know, getting the data to support the segments, developing the buying criteria, you know, from a marketing perspective, from there, defining, you know, how we're going to reach, yeah, you know, our suspects, you know, and all the different channels of how to reach. So we're still a small team, but we have, you know, specific roles, and we, you know, we have now, basically our, you know, a team that it's really taking that process, you know, and we have a defined process, we have, you know, all the tools, we have automation, you know, all the things that we like to see, we have, you know, in now set up for, you know, Chassis and Tango Code.
So how did you move from the founder-led selling that you and Dane were doing, you know, at first him selling and you thinking, oh, I'm just being the engineer, and then you realizing, okay, now I really am part of the sale. And the two of you were probably doing most of the selling. At what point did you say, we really need to get a sales team built here? And how did you move from that founder-led selling into, okay, we've got, you know, our first couple of salespeople, and then growing into where you are now today?
So that's actually a really good question, because I think we did a lot of learnings there, and we tried different things, and some things didn't work, like, you know, and some things worked. So we needed to professionalize ourselves. At the end of the day, that was the thing. If we wanted to scale it, how do you scale, you know, something that doesn't have a defined process, right? So, yes, exactly. So we knew that in order to scale, you needed to have a defined process. And we knew that we needed to develop that process. And we also knew that we didn't know how to develop that process. So that was the first important finding, right? Understanding as a founder, when the things that you don't know, you know? And so we knew that, and we knew that we needed to find it out, you know, outside. So the first we started with being consultants, right? And then we had, you know, different go-to marketing people, and we did mini projects on that, and some things worked and some things didn't. We did a lot of experiments. Mm-hmm. Things that we learned from that time and the process is like that even if it's something that you don't know, as a sponsor, you cannot be disconnected. It's not like you can say, oh, I'm going to hire a consultant that he specializes or she specializes on this, and that's it. They're going to solve my problem. You know, can't do that. It's so funny when we do the things that we're telling our clients not to do, right? So when we when we engage with our clients, we said, hey, if you want to be successful in this development, you're going to need to be right there with us, you know, and we're going to train you and we're going to tell you what we need from you, right? And then when, at the beginning, when we were in this sales process, our first approach was like, you know, hiring in a consultant and said, okay, you do it.
Kind Let of them way. Do their thing and you don't, yeah. You do, it doesn't you know. Work, right?
It and it doesn't work. It doesn't work because the person brings knowledge, but what they cannot bring is like, who are you? Right. So you can outsource, you know, a specialized knowledge. What you cannot outsource is like, who are you? You know, and what defines you and what type of clients you want.
Right.
You know, so we have to learn that. And when we also, part of this whole transformation was embracing Agile, like in all the areas of the company, including sales and marketing, you know, so that also was like a process where it allowed us to do, you know, different experiments and try different things. And we tried, you know, setting BDRs, external BDRs, internal BDRs, you know, like we experiment in different areas. And as we, at the same time, we started to build the chassis, you know, product, and then we started to understand, okay, what was different? What is different about selling services, and what about selling, you know, a product, and how we can really bring those two together, you know?
Yeah, there's so much to learn, and, you know, we make mistakes along the way, but that's fine because we do learn from it. And I really believe that the CEO has to stay connected to sales. Again, how, you know, you're not going to do all the sales. You've got salespeople to do that now, but you've got to stay connected to it. And I'm curious what your role looks like now with sales and how you stay involved in the customer, how your salespeople decide when to bring you in or when to bring Dane in, you know, as the leaders of your company, and which customers you get more involved with or keep in touch with. How do you do that? How do your salespeople leverage you, the leaders of your company, when they're doing sales?
So so we have the process. So we have a defined process. Every client is important, right? Of course, every prospect, every client is important. But as you define a certain strategy, right, you're going to, for example, we're going to go into a new segment. And if you're going to go into a new segment, we need to test certain hypotheses, right? So there is where we will be, if we want to learn, you know, firsthand, then we need to be involved. So when we are either going to a new segment, that's when I want to be part of the conversations because I, you know, I need to learn firsthand. Or when we are into a strategic, what we call strategic customers. So customers where we have, you know, recurrent relationships and recurrent licensing, and we are really involved on, you know, what are their plans, and how we can help them into more of their plans. Those strategic clients, we always have conversations with.
Yeah, I think that's really good. One of the things that I often work with CEOs on is building the guidelines to when they should be involved with a customer or a prospect, and what are the triggers that a salesperson should look for that tell them, oh, this would be a good time to bring my CEO in, either with an existing customer that's growing or with a prospect. And like you said, many times it's the more strategic accounts where there's ongoing business and there's really a partnership going forward. You plan to work together for many years. And the CEO needs to talk to the other CEO or other leaders to really discuss that strategy and make sure that everyone can implement it. And I think mm-hmm. that's a really important time. It sounds like you guys are doing that. Yeah. And then also sometimes in the process of bringing someone on as a new customer, especially if that company is a lot bigger than you, mm-hmm. they need to meet the CEO to feel comfortable. And one of the CEOs I was talking to the other day, he said, oh, you know, I do that CEO comfort conversation. And I said, I'm going to use that, right? Yeah. But the CEO needs to bring comfort to the prospect that, yes, here we are. We built this company. It's solid. You know, we're going to work hard with you. You know, you need to meet us and feel comfortable with us. And those are important times too. But I do notice at some companies that the salespeople aren't given enough guidance as to when to bring their CEO in. And I think today it's even more important than ever because the buyers have, their behavior has changed so much, right? Because they have so much information available to them and they do really want to know who's behind this company, right? And those salespeople, you kind of try to do it themselves because, you know, that's what they've always done. But now we need more of a team approach. We need our sales engineer. We need our subject matter expert. And sometimes we need the senior leaders of our company as well.
Yes. That's one thing that for us, like adopting Agile and every level of the company has also helped us understand that we work in every area with teams. And the idea that we are a team, you know, and we all have to help each other. On the sales part and with my co-founder, we also divide, you know, some of their roles. So for example, Dane, it's more like in charge of partnerships, right? So that makes it easy also for sales to know when he, you know, when he's going to come in, because if it is, you know, conversations that we have with, you know, partnerships, then they already know, okay, you know, Dane is going to come in. I'm more of like involved more in like experiments. You know, so when we're doing new things, you know, that's when I am there. You know, that's why with Chassis, I'm, you know, really involved in Chassis because it's like, you know, the new product. So, and as we're going in segments, I need to be there because we are, you know, we're learning and we are evolving and.
Yeah. It seems like you really love what you do. And I admire that. I love what I do also. And it's so important, I think, to, you know, just keep us going because there's so much stress in the world today, right? I mean, we just got through a pandemic. So, but I'm curious, you know, even loving what you do, how on earth do you run two companies? I mean, being CEO of two companies at the same time, give us, you know, some idea of how you keep that going.
That's a good question. I don't think about it like as a two companies. I really think about it. It's like it's a one big universe of things that I have to do. My calendar is like my guide, you know, like so, you know, having predefined times, that's super important. So I can get, you know, and again, we work like, so we work with an executive team, and in that executive team, we're like, you know, four of us, and we pretty much make those decisions, you know, on the different divisions, on the different companies, and we we establish like an agile also their approach. So we have our backlog. So I know coming in like, okay, what it is like my week looks like, and then my calendar is like the way that I can execute that week, and then and when we do like the, you know, the strategy meetings, that defines, you know, like my epic. So it's like one big job per se, divided in a lot of little tasks.
Sounds like you keep yourself very organized, and maybe the engineering background helps with that.
Yeah, I think so. I do think that the engineering of wanted to understand the process, make it look everything as a process, you know, that I think it does help organize the work.
And having agile teams around everything, I think, really helps a lot too, especially in your field where you are developing and doing a lot of custom work. You do need a team appropriated to it so that everything gets done and the customer gets well served.
Yes, yes, absolutely. For us, like really bring in that. And we actually had one of the experiments that worked really well is at the beginning of Tango Code. We brought a consultant that helped us bring, you know, implement Agile in the entire company. You know, so not only from a development perspective, but in the, you know, executive team and in sales and marketing and in basically in everything. And that had been a really good way of organizing in teams anything that we do.
All right. Well, we're getting to the end of our time here. I always feel like we could talk for another hour. You know, my guests are so interesting and I so appreciate your sharing your story. Do you have any words of advice for the CEOs out there? You're doing a lot, you know, coming from engineering, you look at things differently, you're running the company. Yes, you have a senior team that helps you, which is wonderful. You're staying involved in sales. What are some words of advice that you have for other CEOs?
So words of advice like always is, you know, the trusting yourself, the understanding that you don't have to do it all, that you basically have to trust yourself and trust your team. You know, really surround yourself with a team you can trust, because then you're going to really be able to achieve many things, right? When you as a CEO, and I went through that, you know, sometimes it's funny when you're saying, okay, words of advice, and it sounds like you know, you were born thinking that or knowing that. No, most of the things that I know, I learned them through failing, doing it the other way and failing in it, thinking that I had to know everything and then realizing that that was a failure and wrong and limiting. So it's like you don't surround yourself with a team that you can trust, empower that team to make decisions. One of the best things I did. So now I have it's part of the executive team. So I had an employee at that time, right, that I had really good, I thought he had a lot more to give to us than what he was giving. And I basically sat down with him and saying, like, I want you to make your decisions like this is your company. I want you to be able to think through your job like this is your company. And I basically, without, you know, putting in words, I was empowering him to have all the freedom that he wanted. And that was a huge transformation. It was like incredible transformation. And it was an incredible for him and for me to understand that that's the path, right? Yeah. Empowering people, you are really going to be able to get great things done.
Absolutely. And I think we don't often recognize that. And I think you looking at an employee, knowing that there was more there, that takes time. It takes trust, but you're like, I realize there's something here. This person can do more. They can be more. And that can really help our company grow. And that's pretty courageous to have that kind of conversation, you know, with an employee. But I think it's so important because I think every employee sees your business a certain way and can give you ideas. And when asked, I think they can see it a different way and maybe get the bigger picture and give advice. It's not that you'll always take that advice, but they can provide more ideas that you can consider. So I love that you saw that and helped that person develop by simply saying, hey, if it was your company, what would you do? I want to hear your opinion.
And now it's part of our culture. So now it's just not, now it's basically part of our culture in Tango Code. Everybody knows that part of the responsibility coming in to work with us, it is really to help us improve, not only what is the direct responsibilities, but anything that they see around, that they see that there's an opportunity for improvement.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you, Veronica, so much for coming on the show, for sharing your story. sharing some of the things that you did that worked and didn't work, and for sharing your advice with all of us. I know our listeners got a lot out of the conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
If you enjoyed the show, please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.